Today on Prophecy Unfolding, we will examine the rise of deception as a normal tool in our society and its nexus to Bible prophecy. Well, once again, we're so happy that you're able to join with us here as we focus on current events and how they are setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Well, just a quick reminder, we're located at Union Grove Baptist Church in Racine County. It's about 25 minutes south of Milwaukee and just north of Kenosha County. We have our morning service at 9 a.m., our adult Bible fellowships and Sunday school for all ages at 10:45 a.m. on Sunday, and then Sunday evening we have a 6 p.m. service. Wednesday night, starting at 6:30, we have a full youth ministry for children, as well as a wonderful high school group and adult Bible studies, and that all takes place on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Well, let's get right into our subject for this evening, and we're actually going to do a two-part series on this regarding deception as a normal tool in our society. My friends, this is a major, major issue that we're seeing rising up, and it's deception has always been involved in the world situation ever since Satan first tempted Adam, and Adam, of course, was deceived, and Eve was deceived, and they fell, if you will, into the trap of the devil and ate of the forbidden tree. And ever since then, for the last 6,000 years, there's been deception used as a tool, if you will, not only of Satan, but of our society to advance personal gain and political gain. So we're going to be looking at this because it has a major, major nexus to what's going to be happening in Bible prophecy. If you'd like, we're going to be going to Matthew 24 in a few minutes, but I want to set the stage for what's taking place here. And there's an interesting article that came out. It's by an advisory group called GROCO, G-R-O-C-O, and they basically had an article that just came out. It's called Three Reasons the Government is Lying About Inflation. Now, folks, we could go to a myriad of different topics, and next week on Prophecy Unfolding, we're going to be looking at other issues that have risen up that are causing a massive amount of deception among specifically the American people. We're going to keep this localized to the American situation right now and what's taking place in our country and the amount of political gain that's being gained, if you will, by using deception. Well, let me just go to this article for a few moments. And again, it's called Three Reasons the Fed or the Government is Lying About Inflation. Now, again, this is not meant to be a political piece, but it's pointing out things that we struggle with, why Americans, if you will, are bifurcated. Many people are like, well, this is great. Many people are like, this isn't great. And we constantly are hearing things and trying to figure out the ultimate question, the answer to it, of what is truth. Well, unfortunately, we're going to see, especially when we get into Bible prophecy in a few moments in Matthew chapter 24, deception is going to be a major tool that, if you will, the satanic trinity of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet will use to totally, totally mess, if you will, with the minds of people that are living during the tribulation time. So it's very important that we understand this because these tools not only are a prophetic nexus, but they also have a major issue with what's taking place in our world today. Well, here's a little bit from that article again. Why would the United States federal government purposely underreport or flat out lie about the current rate of inflation? Now, that's an inflammatory statement on its face, and it gets our attention. Once again, as American citizens, as people that are concerned about what's taking place in our country, in our churches, in our homes, in our schools, when we hear rhetoric like this, it really gets our attention. Now, you may be totally 100% happy with everything that's happening in society right now, but I would strongly guess, I'm going to take an educated guess here, that you're probably, especially if you're a conservative Christian, not happy with everything that you hear in the news and what's taking place in our country. Well, let me just give a couple of statistics here to get our minds in how things are being, if you will, twisted or changed or sleight of hand type of things to try and get us to buy into certain concepts. This particular article says the latest report shows inflation is up on an annual 12-month basis of 8.3%. Now, some of you are gasping right now based on your bills, and you're saying 8.3% doesn't come close to it. But that's what is being reported on the mainstream media. Over last year, the reported rate increase is 5.1%. Now, they go into that just on apartments, people renting apartments. The National Survey of Brands over the past 12 months shows an increase of 17%, which is a far cry from the 8.3% that we hear reported. So these numbers are conflicting. Why are those numbers conflicting? Well, here's another statement. In terms of energy, the government claims that energy prices are up 23%. However, natural gas has doubled in price this year. Gasoline is up 55% over the past 12 months, and home heating oil is up 70%. We have a budget at our church, which was based on the last year's numbers, and when we hit the midpoint of this fiscal year in July, we had already spent 100% of the proposed budget, of our accepted budget, on gas, natural gas, and other energy supply things that we have at our church. So we actually had to go to the church, amend our budget, and increase it 100% based on the incredible inflation and rise in various forms of energy that we use. Here's another statement. In addition, food inflation is reported to be up 9.1%. However, the major food supplier, Tyson Foods, reported that it has raised prices on pork 38% over the past year and beef 33%. That's a far cry from 9.1% that's being reported in the media and through our government agencies. So the United Nations reports food inflation worldwide over the past 12 months is running at 33%. Now you say, Brother Rich, why are you bringing these things up? Why is this important from a biblical perspective? Well, my dear friends, what is the main thing when we look at a biblical perspective that we're looking for? We're always looking for truth. What is truth? When Jesus stood before Pilate, Pilate looks at Jesus. Jesus is basically on trial. He's going to, of course, be charged with a capital offense and put to death. And Pilate makes this statement, what is truth? Well, we as Christians want to make sure we know what truth is. And when we're dealing in a society that majors on deception, it's very difficult for people who live in our society, in our culture, to accept the fact that God's word is indeed truth. Now, again, we're going to go to Matthew 24 in a few minutes, but I just want to add a couple other points that this article brings out, which some of you might actually be facing. So what other things are problematic with our current governmental system and what's being reported? Well, such things as, in the opinion of the person who wrote this article, the CPI has been purposely underreported because if the true rate of inflation was reported, the government would have to pay out more cost of living allowances. In other words, those that are on assisted type payments, those on Social Security, other things that are funded by the government, there would be a massive increase in the outputs just to keep up with inflation. So if your Social Security check, if you happen to be a senior citizen or collecting Social Security, they're making it very clear. If they reported the actual rates of inflation, it would be catastrophic, if you will, as far as the budget goes. One last thing I'm going to bring up in this report, it brings out the fact that back in just a few years ago, in 2000, well, we're talking 22 years ago, the Bush administration was at the national debt was $5 trillion. Well, folks, it now what we're looking at, not a $5 trillion deficit, but today's national debt exceeds $30 trillion. My friend, if you wanted to try and calculate, wow, with 350 million Americans, how do you pay off a $30 trillion debt? Well, folks, that's just an incredible number and an incredibly bad number. So in 21 years, our national debt has increased by $25 trillion. And let's just make this one last statement before we go to Matthew chapter 24. When you spend money, just outlandish amounts of money, and keep spending and keep spending and keep spending, the debt is just going to keep rising. My friends, if you're having difficulty paying your bills now, and it's just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse unless something changes. All right, so we've set the stage. We've got to understand what is our society doing? What are we stuck with? What are people who are looking for the truth, trying to get to a truth when nothing seems to be true? We're constantly in this flux of, is what's being reported to us true? Is society telling us things that are true? Is the Bible, is God's word really God's word? Is the Bible truly inerrant? Now, as a, if you're a again, if you're a Christian and you believe in the Word of God as being inerrant, I'm sorry, it is absolutely without error. It's awesome. It's infallible. It is God's Word. But if you will, the satanic, demonic world, which we are constantly under that attack, can deceive people and get people to stop accepting anything as truth, guess who wins? Well, of course, Satan gets a major victory. Well, let's just take our Bibles for a moment. We're going to go to what's known as the Olivet Discourse. In Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25, Jesus himself is delivering, if you will, an end times message to his disciples. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus specifically is pointing out several different things that are going to be taking place before his return. Not the rapture of the church when he takes home one generation of Christians, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18, and 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 54. Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is talking about not the rapture, but his literal second coming to this earth when he will set up what's known as the 1,000-year millennial kingdom. That's talked about specifically in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 7, where in six times in seven verses, the Lord makes it clear as he's speaking to the Apostle John that the tribulation, or after the tribulation, the millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year kingdom, will be in place. Six times in seven verses in Revelation 21 to 7, God points out that kingdom will last 1,000 literal years. Now, before that kingdom takes place, however, there will be 7 years of horrible, catastrophic tribulation. If you went to Revelation chapter 4, verse 2, all the way through the end of Revelation chapter 19, deals with that 7-year catastrophic, horrible tribulation when massive amount of death will take place, massive amount of, if you will, God's wrath poured out upon this earth. Matthew 24, Jesus is talking about many of those things which are also written about in Revelation, again, chapter 4, verse 2, all the way through the end of Revelation 19. One of the key things that God brings out, that Jesus himself brings out in this, what's known as the Olivet Discourse. You say, well, why is it called the Olivet Discourse? Well, if you've been to Jerusalem, if you've been to Israel, and you know, go to what's known as the Temple Mount. Now, on the Temple Mount, that used to be where the first and the second Jewish temple stood, but now if you look at that wonderful, beautiful property, there's now two Islamic buildings there, one known as the Dome of the Rock. That's that beautiful gold dome building that sits where God's first and second temples once stood. So the Islamic shrine, the Dome of the Rock, and a little bit to the south of that is a big building known as the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Well, when Jesus was on earth, the second temple stood exactly where that Dome of the Rock stands today. Now, Jesus and the disciples in Matthew 24 are walking out of that temple complex. The disciples stop him in Matthew 24, 1 and 2. They look at that beautiful temple, and Jesus says, listen, my dear disciples, not one stone of that temple will be left upon another that will not be cast down. By the way, when Jesus says something, it's exactly what takes place. 40 years later, after, of course, Jesus had already ascended, he was up in heaven. 40 years later, the Romans came in and actually tore down that temple. Every single stone was torn down, just as Jesus says, prophesied, and by the way, just as Daniel had prophesied back in Daniel 9:24 through 27. God's word always comes to pass. Oh, there's a good statement now, isn't it? There's no deception in the Bible. What God says, what God prophesies, what God states always comes to pass. But let's go back to Matthew 24 and look at a couple of verses. One of the key things that will take place again after the rapture of the church during the seven-year period is a massive amount of deception that will take place. Let's go to Matthew 24 and verse 4. And Jesus said, and he's talking again to the disciples and those that will be living during the tribulation period, which is yet future, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. No man deceive you. You see, what's going to be taking place? And that's why right now, what we're seeing taking place in our country, and quite frankly, around the world, but again, I live in America, I'm more attuned with what's taking place here. Why is there so much deception? Why is the public, why is the media, why are even some, and I hate to put it this way, but why are even some churches not sticking to the truth? Why is there so much deception? Well, folks, the stage is being set for what's going to be taking place during that seven-year tribulation period. You see, after the church is raptured, taken up to heaven, the church is gone. In other words, God is basically, and this is kind of a way to put it, he's starting from scratch. In other words, the people now that are propagating the gospel, that are telling people how to come to Christ, we're all going to be up in heaven. So God is going to be starting a whole new plan, if you will, during that seven-year tribulation period. Now you say, well, who's going to tell folks the gospel? Well, that's a great question, and the Bible answers it. In Revelation chapter 7, Revelation 11, and Revelation 14, God talks about witnesses that will be raised up. In fact, in chapter 7 and 14, we find out about 144,000 young male Jewish evangelists, 12,000 from every tribe of Israel will be used by God to preach the gospel around the world. God also talks about two specific witnesses that he's going to raise up that will also have a worldwide impact. So God has his plan in place. In fact, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14 makes it very, very clear that the entire world will indeed hear the gospel at that time. So what we've been not able to do, if you will, even as the church, we try to send out missionaries all across the world, but have we reached everyone? No, we haven't. But again, in verse 14 of Matthew 24, it states this, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So it's a marvelous thing that what the church actually couldn't even achieve, God will achieve during that seven-year tribulation where every person will hear the gospel. The unfortunate thing, though, is that many, many, many people will not accept it. Well, let's go back to this idea of deception, Matthew 24, verse 5. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Oh, what is going to be taking place during the tribulation? A massive satanic movement is going to be going across not just America, but across the world. And he's saying many deceivers are going to come and say, "Hey, I'm the Messiah. I'm Jesus Christ. I'm the ones you need to be looking at." This is the massive deception that will be taking place during that seven-year tribulation period. Let's go down to the next concept of deception. In verse 10, Matthew 24, "And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arrive and shall," here's the word again, "deceive many." False prophets rising up. Now, folks, I like to say again that the stage is being set for what's going to be taking place during the tribulation period. If Jesus comes back in our generation, which, of course, we're looking for the imminent return of Jesus to take his body home, the body of Christ home, the church home, what's going to take place next? The Antichrist comes on the scene, Daniel 9:27, confirms a covenant with the Jewish people, and starts his movement to get every single person on this earth to, his goal is this, he wants to be worshipped, he wants to be praised, he wants to be the worldwide ruler, which actually he's going to accomplish. Now, many folks will come to Christ during that time. Most of them, according to Revelation 13, will be martyred for their faith, but that is the satanic movement during that seven-year tribulation period to do what? Deceive many, many people. Well, let's move down even a little bit further. Again, Jesus is preaching here, and now he's going to talk about the last 3.5 years. How do we know that? Verse 21, Matthew 24, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Now, what's he mean about the great tribulation? The first 3.5 years is characterized by a pseudo-peace for the Jewish people. How do we know that? Daniel 9, verse 27 tells us the Antichrist himself confirms a covenant or a peace treaty for 3.5 years with the whom? The Jewish people. So for the first 3.5 years, they get their temple rebuilt. The sacrifices are in place once again. The Jewish people are at least somewhat happy. They're somewhat protected by the Antichrist. The last 3.5 years, and if you've listened to previous broadcasts on prophecy unfolding, you have heard this. Revelation chapter 12, starting at verse 7, there's a massive war in heaven in the future at the middle of that seven-year tribulation period. Satan is cast out of heaven. What does he do? He comes down to this earth, and he goes absolutely, and the word that comes to mind, berserk. He's absolutely furious. He's full of wrath. And the Bible says, do you know why? Because his time is short. 3.5 years to try and destroy what God had put in place. So there will be great tribulation. Verse 23, Matthew 24. "Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not." God's saying tremendous deception will be taking place during that period. Verse 24, Matthew 24. "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." What's God saying? During the last days, We're seeing these things being set up. We're seeing the massive deception that people are just wondering, what is truth? What is truth? What is truth? Well, let's go to one more passage here, Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. And it warns us in this present day, this present time period, to be careful about being deceived. Titus chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says the Apostle Paul, who of course was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and here's what he said, "For we ourselves," he's talking to us now, us Christians, "for we ourselves," Christians, "were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." What is God saying? Before a person comes and accepts the free gift of eternal life by placing their faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did, we were deceived. We were living, if you will, in our own selfish bubble, and all of a sudden what happens? Folks, let me ask you this question. Are you deceived today? Are you suffering, if you will, from deception religiously, politically, maybe all the different things that we face as human beings? Are you deceived? You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, let me ask you this question, please, as we come to a close. If you were to die this very moment, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt where you would go? Many of you are saying right now, listen, I'm not sure. I want to go to heaven in the worst way. I want to be with Jesus. I want to spend eternity with him, but I don't know. I don't know what the truth is. Well, my dear friend, would you please listen to me for this last 1 minute? Here's what the Word of God states, which is absolutely authoritative, awesome, without error. Four different things God tells us we absolutely must know. Number one, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ came down out of heaven, died on the cross for our sins. Why? Because we are sinners. We don't deserve to go to heaven, but Jesus Christ loves you. His death, burial, and resurrection 100% paid for your sins. Would you listen to these two verses? "For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any person should boast." Please, if you've never done it, would you by faith receive God's free gift of eternal life this very moment? Well, thanks again for being with us right here on Prophecy Unfolding.